Have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 9. It's one chapter over from where we were this morning. Lord willing, we'll go from verse 9 to verse 17. That's the goal. That's the goal. First part is something I love to teach and preach on, and the last part is just... Y'all ever like little nuggets of information from the Word of God that makes you go, huh? I do. I like hearing something that makes sense that maybe I didn't realize before. So that's what we're going to shoot for this evening. So Matthew chapter 9, jump down to about verse 9. So I'm trying to figure out this microphone. This is a preacher's nemesis right here. Over the years, I don't know how many. I was preaching one revival down in Georgia somewhere. And I got real excited, and the microphone started doing something. And I forgot. I pulled the jacket off and went to throw the jacket, and the microphone went with it. I said, that ain't going to be good. But I've had many a fight with a microphone over the years. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Let's just jump in the Word. Y'all ready? Sunday night, right? We're all family here. Let's peel back the Word of God and look at it. Some of my favorite stuff right here. And Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. I love this right here. Jesus goes by the tax collecting office or booth. And Matthew's there, and he says, come follow me. Write this down when you're thinking about Matthew. He's a traitor and a thief. Okay, a traitor and a thief. He is a natural Jew, a natural Jewish man who's then become employed by the Roman Empire to draw taxes away from his own people, and then usually they would take more than they're supposed to take. Okay? So to most Jewish people of this time, especially the religious elite, would look at him and say, he is a thief, he is a traitor, and he don't deserve anything. And Jesus doesn't spend any time at all, walks by and says, hey, come on, follow me. You're going to be an apostle. You're going to be a disciple of mine, an apostle of mine. You're going to be in my 12-man circle. Ain't that cool? Because I can see some of the other guys getting picked. I can see other people getting picked. But I can't see thieves and traitors and some outcasts like that being picked. But God, Jesus didn't have any problem picking people that nobody else will pick. Thank God. Aren't y'all glad of that? Every time I read something like this, I think, man, how good God is. And then in the next verse, he says, and then he sat at dinner, or sat at food or a meal, and guess who was there? Publicans and sinners, right? Guess what? You had the publicans and the tax collectors all come in there together, and guess what they could see? They could see Peter, James, and John, which are on one level. To certain people, they're not good enough. But then all of a sudden, they look over and they see Matthew. And they say, wait a minute. If he lets him in, I can be in. Amen? If he can walk with Jesus, I can walk with Jesus. It's amazing in a church body, while we have so many different kinds of people, so many diversity, you should have. And that's why when people come in here and get saved, when people come in here, even when they're just coming in to seek the Lord, we shouldn't kind of look at them in a certain way, because we don't know what kind of people God can use them to reach people. Amen? A lot of times when people are just coming to church, you might not see a big change in your church growth with those people, but you might see a growth where they work, where they live, where they operate. Amen? But Matthew, man, right away, I love when he goes by. Get up and follow. You know, there's nothing in the Scriptures, and where the Scriptures are silent, we got to remain silent. He don't even put up an argument. You know God's dealing with somebody if they just get up and follow Jesus and quit their whole livelihood. God's been dealing with, he must have been hearing about Jesus. He must have just been hearing all the stuff, the reverberation through the community. You know, he's a tax collector, so he's dealing with people all the time. Jesus is healing people. Man, he's setting people free. He's forgiving people's sins. Man, he's changed this person. He's changed that person. And something in him saying, man, I wished I wasn't a tax collector. I wish I didn't have to sit here and do this mundane job. I wish Jesus would come by here one day. If he ever comes by here, I'm going with him. Hey, be careful. I had people tell me that my whole life when it comes to ministry. Be careful. Be careful. You get what you wish for. Amen. But when you get the fire of God in you, it don't matter, right? You want to do what God wants you to do. Amen. We're not trying to be careful. We're trying to follow Jesus. Man, I would just love to see that transaction. I can't wait till we get to heaven. Maybe that'll be on replay. I don't know, but I want to see that transaction. I want to see Matthew quit his job. Amen. I mean, what does he do with the money? What does he do with all of his stuff? What does he do with his books? What does he do with all of his, hey, you know what I mean? Hey, Tom, come here and get this. I'm out. Where are you going? Jesus, you're crazy. I know. Amen. And the next thing you know, he's sitting at a dinner table. Next thing you know, there's more publicans and sinners sitting around the table with him eating and drinking. And he's sitting there going, man, I bet they're hanging on every word. I love that. I love that part. Listen, you want to write this down? Publicans and sinners sat with Jesus because they're comfortable around him. You don't sit around and have a meal with somebody you're not comfortable with. So there's got to be conviction, but there's got to be comfort. There's got to be conviction. There's got to be standards. There's got to be things you won't do. But then again, how are we going to win lost people if lost people can't stand to be around you? Amen. I run into Christians all the time. Let's backtrack on that. I run into people all the time who claim to be Christians who are meaner than snakes. And I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world are you ever going to win somebody to the Lord? Nobody can stand you. Amen? You got your full rules, and you're mad at everybody, but guess what? You can't ever tell anybody, hey, could you imagine? Oh, I just can't sit with that kind of person. Jesus is God. Now, look, let's say it again. He's God. He can't sit with none of us. He sits with us. Amen? The publicans and sinners come in and they see Jesus and he's accessible. If Jesus is accessible, can you please be accessible? Be a little bit accessible. Show some love, some courtesy. Amen? Some passion towards people, some desire to love on people, desire to reach people. It's amazing how Christians go to eat sometimes. We're good at it. We're good at it. But we should be better in a restaurant than lost people. A lot of times we're not. We should be. Amen? Because guess what? You got somebody coming back and forth to your table on a regular basis who probably needs Jesus. You know, I mean, that's a hard profession. Just yesterday, we sat and we talked to a lady. She came and she said, I'm here from Maryland. I said, man, you're a long way from Maryland. She goes, yeah, my boyfriend left me. I needed a new start. And, you know, the next thing you know, the Lord's in my business. You know what I'm saying? I'm on vacation. I'm taking a day for me. I don't think I have one of those. My wife absolutely says I don't have any of those. So all of a sudden, she comes back and I said, well, wait a minute. Well, where's your family? Do you have any family here? You're from Maryland. She goes, no. She goes, my dad, he lives way up in Kentucky or somewhere like that. And my mom disowned me years ago. She's 20. Years ago. I'm like, wow. Well, we're about to pray over this unhealthy food we're about to eat. We're going to pray for you. Is that okay? She just pauses, dead stops. That'd be great. Right? Well, the next time she comes back, she gives us more information. I don't know if she's working on a tip. Or she really finally got to somebody that's going to listen for a moment. You know what I mean? And she's telling us stuff and sharing stuff, and we're like, hey, you know what? We're going to be praying for you. This is pretty cool. It's just, and I'm not telling you that because I'm sitting here wanting to, on Sunday night, oh, that preacher of ours is something great. All I'm trying to tell you is there's an opportunity everywhere you go, especially in places like that. And guess what? They got to keep coming back. Talk to them about God. Tell them, it's a simple thing. Chris McDaniel's got me on this one. You're going to pray anyway. Amen? So when they come and say, hey, we're going to pray anyway, can we pray for you? You would be surprised how many times they'll lean over the table and they'll say, absolutely. And here's a laundry list. Amen? of things that I need prayer of. So, I mean, think about that. When that's just a ministry tool. So wherever you go, you can use it. But I just thought this was amazing. Lost people need to feel like they can be around you. I get this, and I know our crowd's mature tonight. I can handle this. But don't take this preacher. Oh, the preacher said, go hang out with a bunch of lost people. Go to the bar. Go to the clubs. Go all. No, that's wrong. What I'm telling you, though, is when you go to a place, don't be the person who tells them. Be able to sit down with them in a place that's mutual, but it's not going to pull you under. Amen? I know my limitations. I can meet with you at the Old Charlie's. I can meet with you at a steakhouse, but, hey, I'm not coming to the club with you. Amen? Because the next thing you know, you'll be needing to pray for me. Some of y'all think I'm crazy. We're not that spiritual. Amen? I got invited years ago. I mean, a ministry goes by so fast. 10, 12, 15 years, somebody asked me one time, hey, man, you want to go down here to this one place with us, and we're going to watch the MMA fight? And I'm like, well, that sounds pretty good. But it's all Christian guys, don't worry. But then it was like, and I started checking in the place, and it was like kind of like a club-like thing. And I'm like, well, the first night I'd went down there, I'd have been all spiritual. I would have. I'd have prayed. I'd been like, all right, boys, let's hang out. Keep this focus. But then I'd have picked up on somebody. Oh, there's so-and-so. They need me to go over there and talk to them. Oh, never mind. I can't share that here. Right? Next time I'm going to go back by myself. It'll be a personal mission down there, right? No. You got to know your limitations. You got to know what's good and what's bad. Listen, Jesus is God. We need to know, okay, I can walk into this place and I'm going to be in control. And that might take years. But if you go in there and all of a sudden your eyes start warming around, you need to go, hey, guys, guess what? Spiritually, we're going, I'm getting out of here. Let me show you how I handle some of my biggest spiritual battles. I'm out. You'll hear the parking lot. You'll hear my tires squeal in the parking lot. That's the truth, right? Look at this. Get in verse 11 with me. And when the Pharisees, God, I love these guys, don't you? I swear, if Jesus was having rice, they'd jump out of a rice bowl. You'll laugh. It's okay. You'll get that when you get home, some of you. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners? They can't figure it out. They don't have a clue. I mean, they're still doing this today. Why in the world would you have them in your spirit? Why would you allow them around you? Why would you eat with them? Why would you take time? Why do you think about lost? Why are you even associated? They're traitors. They're thieves. They're everything we're not. Exactly. Exactly. Man, if you're asking those questions a lot, you really need to search and find out. Because guess what? Church ain't about us. It is about lost people and about us. And us reaching those lost people. And us seeing people come in here that we're kind of scratching our head about, well, why are they here? But in your heart, you need to check that and say, because if they hear the right message, if God deals with them on the right day, they might become our greatest asset. Amen? Have you ever met those people that get saved that turn into your biggest asset? Because they don't have it. They're like, I know where they're at. Amen? You're like, who? The bikers. We'll go in there and get them. You're like, okay, brother. Yeah, I've met those people, man. I've met the folks that, you know, that you look at them, they go, I know exactly where all my friends hang out. Let's go. They'll try to go after them, man. Right? They'll try to get the church dirty. It's all right. They couldn't understand it. Master, why is he sitting with the publicans and sinners? Let's go back. Can we break that down a little bit more? We got time. We will. And when the Pharisees saw it, verse 11, they said unto his disciples, who did he go to? Who did they go to? Did they go to Jesus? They go to his disciples. Asking, why is Jesus doing it? Why is God doing it? Ain't that funny? How some people that are supposed to be super religious, they go and wear people out, but they don't wear God out. You know why they did that? It's because God had given them a straight-up answer they didn't want to hear. They go to some people and they want to answer to a question that only God can answer. Sometimes people ask you questions, and they're really not. You might want to write this down. This is a noteworthy place right here. If you don't take notes, bring some paper next time. This is a good place. Listen. Sometimes people ask you trivial, crazy questions about God is because they're not trying to ask the question. They're trying to wrestle and argue because they're wrestling and arguing with God on the inside. They're always wanting to trifle with you, always wanting to get you in a spiritual headlock, always wanting to figure out, come, why tell me this or tell me that, why think this and I think that, and I'm deep and I'm mysterious. And you're like, no, you're fighting God. Because when you really surrender to God, you never have a problem saying, you know, some things I just don't know. But I'm seeking, and I love Him, and I trust Him. And I know that His Son was God, and He came to this earth, and I know He died on that cross, and I know He forgave me of my sins, and I know I'm trying to live for Him. I'm reading His Word, I'm praying, and I'm trying to apply what I learned and what I know to my life. And you know what? I don't know what you're asking sometimes. But you know, if you'll surrender to God on that, you'll have a whole lot more peace. A lot of people just don't have peace because all they want to do is wrestle. You know what? They're wrestling with God. I've told many people like that, you need to go wrestle with God on that. Go talk to Him about it. Oh, that's what the disciples said. Hey, you're sitting right there. Talk to Him about it, you know? But you know what? Here we go. He overheard them, unfortunately. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Whew. He just told us right there what the church is. It is an emergency room. It's an emergency room. It's for broken people. Listen, no, scratch that out because I don't want to mislead you, all right? Scratch that word church out. Jesus is an emergency room for sinners. I want you to, listen, I love church. But church ain't the end-all, be-all. It's Jesus is the emergency room. We just happen to worship Jesus in this place. Amen? You can worship Jesus in a living room. Amen? You can have church started house by house. It's okay. I'm not saying that we're going to disband. I'm just saying we worship Jesus here, but you can worship Jesus anywhere. So get people to come to Jesus, and then you can get them to come to church. Understand that? Okay, good. Listen, he said, listen, this is good. Those that are sick, they need a hospital. I am the hospital. And I don't deny nobody. So listen, I'm not, he just blew him up right there. He said, look, you give me the sickest, the brokest, the most messed up, and the religious. They can come in here and they can get well. Amen? Those that identify, that find out, oh gosh, I'm lost. Oh gosh, I'm hell bound. Oh my gosh, if I died today, I would go into a place called hell. Oh no, I'm without Jesus. That's who he's talking about. And that could be a spectrum of people at any time. Ain't that cool? That's the coolest idea. When you find out you're sick and you need a cure, you go to Jesus. And you should be able to get there. That should be accessible at any time. Jesus said, hey, those that are sick, they need me. That's messing with them, right? Because they don't think they're sick. You don't go to hospital if you don't think you're sick. You just stay wherever you're at. You self-diagnose. I'm good. I compare. Well, I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. I think I'm better than that person. But the person, like Matthew in this case, or the publicans and sinners, all of a sudden said, hey, you know what? I'm sick. Dump all my coin out. Take off my robe of taking collections, and I'm following Jesus the rest of my life. And you know what? Some of the other people said, you know what? I need what he is. I'm as sick as he is. When people find out they're sick, there's a beautiful cure. The cure is awesome. It's like a lot of cures, though. It's stronger. A lot of times, some of the cure is stronger than the sickness. Amen? If you get cancer, they'll give you something called chemo a lot of times. It's almost stronger than the cancer. Amen? It'll do more damage to you a lot, right? Jesus is quite the same way. He'll wreck your life. Did the preacher just say that? I don't mean he'll wreck your life in a bad way. He just changes your whole life. You have an identity crisis when you get saved. You'll sit there and go, I don't even know who this guy is anymore. 10 years after you get saved, nobody knows you. Amen? My mom and dad had a hard time figuring out who I was. I still got some relatives that are on the fence. Who is this guy? Right? That's awesome. That's the way it's supposed to be. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn that what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not coming to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know what he was really digging them right there. You know what he's saying? You go have sacrifice, and you worship, and you do all these religious things, right? But you don't have any mercy. He said, you don't have any mercy. I get this all the time. They're like mint farmers. I do this a lot. Y'all have heard me say that. They're mint farmers. They do the little garden right beside, you know, you can have mint and parsley and all that little stuff right outside your door. Or you could have like tomato. Listen, they worried more about the little things than the big things. Right? You have your rules. Rules. Mercy, right? They couldn't ever see mercy for anybody. Verse 14. Then come to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but the disciples fast not? What a weird team this is. Who are they? Why in the world did John the Baptist's disciples pair up with the Pharisees and come at Jesus about fasting? I don't understand it. It makes for a rare tandem, don't you? You'd think the Pharisees would come, but how John the Baptist's, why is his disciples coming? I thought they paired up with Jesus and went with him, right? Why are they coming? You write this down, it'll be good. Or if you don't write it down, listen to this later on in the recording and write it down then, because this is a real good thought. Sometimes the best people in the world that you love and you trust and you have a lot of faith in will say some stuff to you that cuts you to the bone. They're not being mean, that's just what they know. They're not trying to hurt you, that's just kind of what they've always done. Amen? And what they've always done is probably not what God's always going to do in your life. Are y'all okay? Did that make sense to you? When I first got called into ministry, when I was about to go into full-time ministry, I had a man that I was going into prison with on a regular basis 3 days a week. And I thought prison ministry was something I really wanted to do. But in the back of my mind, I knew it just wasn't what I wanted to do. It wouldn't ever just fit up right. But when Providence came along and I got that opportunity to go full-time, man, I mean, it was just like, bing, light goes off. That's it. That's it, right? Well, the man that I had the most, I had real good confidence would come and say, I wouldn't do that. That's a big mistake. I mean, man, I'm in no man's land at that point. I'm already like, you know, quitting my job, doing my thing. And this guy just flat out just tells me, that's wrong. God's not in that. Man, for 2 days, whoo, I was in a mess. You know what I mean? Because then you're wondering, did he get a different signal from God than I got? Is God using him to tell me? That was his experience. He wasn't trying to hurt me. That was his experience. His experience told him that that's not the way you do it. This is the way you do it, right? He wasn't really trying to hurt me. He was just saying something that he felt would help me. But he wasn't talking to God. He wasn't talking for God. You know why I know he wasn't talking for God? Because a day later, God said, I'm talking to you. God said, pull over. Because you got one opportunity to do this. You can be 20 or 30 or 40 years from now, and you're going to regret not taking this opportunity. So take the opportunity. Stop listening to people and listen to me. Okay, good. I'm good, guy. I'm all right now. But I still love that guy. Amen. I still love him. He's still a good guy. Chaplain Steele's his name. Great guy. I don't got no problem with him. I don't have no problem. But the same thing. They come to him, and they're like, wow, you know, me and John, we did a spiritual thing. We were baptizing over by the river. We were doing a great thing. Why aren't y'all fasting? Right? And the Pharisees, they just wanted to wrestle with Jesus every time again. Why ain't y'all fasting like we do? We fast. We're spiritual. I don't mind fasting. Fasting's good. If you need God to get on something, fast. If it's important to you and you want to put an edge to your prayers and you want to say, God, this is important to me, it's so important to me that I'll neglect my earthly food and get spiritually closer to you. I'll give my money, my time, my effort to something else. But guess what? I'm going to pray. At lunchtime, I'm praying. I'm not eating. I'm not feeding my flesh. I'm feeding the spiritual man. And I want you to get involved in this. And I'm so serious about it that I'm not going to feed this monster. God will know you're serious when you ain't eating. Amen? He'll say, man, they're serious. Yeah, is that good? Are y'all ready for this fun little nut? Because I've been wanting to preach this the whole day. Y'all ready? Check this out. Because y'all got it on the fast part right there. Listen. And Jesus said unto them, this is so good. Jesus is cool. He fights better than we do. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth the... I'll give you that last two verses in a minute. You know what he just told them? Man, this is cool. Someday you're going to be able to use this and you'll sound really smart. What are you trying to do if you're fasting? I just told y'all a second ago, you're trying to get closer to God. Is that correct? You can't get no closer to God, Him sitting right beside you. That's what He told them. He said the bride would be mournful if the bridegroom wasn't sitting right beside her. God, some of you girls said that you should have smiled. You should know what I was talking about. That, you know, you got married and you love that guy. He's right there. If he's not there, you're sad. Some of y'all need to say amen. I'm starting to worry about your marriages. You understand what I'm saying? Is that good? Jesus knelt, didn't he? They're like, hey, why aren't y'all fasting? When you fast, see, spiritual people, they say some things. It's still weird. You need to fast or you can get a hold of God like we do. He's standing right there. I mean, he is literally standing right there. I mean, well, how much? He's eating, we're eating. We're enjoying our time together. Ain't that neat? Man, when I read it for the very first time, I'm like, Jesus blew him up. Said, golly, y'all are fasting. What are y'all trying to get a hold of? God, it's like, remember when Jesus came riding in the donkey down into Jerusalem and they come out of the temple and tell them to be quiet because they're in there worshiping God, trying to get a hold of God? Sometimes they just wear themselves out. Jesus was God. It's my favorite part. That was just one of my favorite, one of them nuggets when you read it, you kind of don't understand it. I read it for a couple years and I didn't really understand what he's saying. Then I finally got him there going, man, that is so cool. You don't have to fast, just ask him a question. He's right here. God's right there. Just run right over there and ask him whatever you want to ask him. He'll tell you the truth. He's God. Amen? I like that. All right, let's finish it up. Now, see, this is what God's doing. Remind yourself this, too. God is he's a installing God. Amen? He installs things in your life. He equips the called, or he calls the equipped, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But he will install in you what you need when you need it. Does that make sense to you? Listen what he does. It says, no man putteth, he's talking about his disciples and his apostles, and let me break this down a little bit further. They're asking him about why they sit with publicans and sinners, and then they ask him, why are they not fasting, okay? Now Jesus is telling them, now he breaks it down, he wants them to be really clear on this. He goes, this is how I do my training, okay? He says, no man putteth a piece of new cloth into old garments, for that which is put on in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottle breaks, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. You know what he's saying? I'm training these guys. I'm walking with them. They're not ready yet. This is a 3-year project, and every one of them is going to fail. Until they receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Y'all good? Every one of them is going to fail in their own way. Some are going to have successes. Some are going to have failures. Some are going to have successes. Some are going to have failures. We do the same thing. But guess what? He goes, the day of Pentecost, when I'm tore apart at the cross and they receive the Holy Spirit, the gift, it is expedient for me to go away that you might receive the Comforter. When you receive the Comforter, I'm going to pour in that new wine into the new bottle. Amen? I've been getting you ready for 3 years. This ain't, God, y'all want to write this down, it's good. This ain't no patch job, baby. I don't want to say it all night. This ain't no patch job. Mama ain't putting a patch on these jeans. Golly. Y'all don't even, Mark might know. Man, I grew up in the era of patches. My mom was iron-on patches, sew-on patches. And you know what I'm talking about. They covered a patch in about 2 weeks. There's a hole above it, below it, or on the side of it. In my case, everywhere. Right? Because we were boys, right? My favorite thing for my dad to say when the sun came up, you boys, get out. That's it. You boys, if we weren't in school, you boys, get out. We didn't have a pair of clothes that didn't have a hole in it. And Mama said, don't wear your good clothes outside. Don't wear your school clothes. School clothes outside. Because you wanted to show all your neighborhood friends your new shoes and new pants. And they would say, you want to go over there and play in the Red Hills? Yes! All right, sorry. So I wore a lot of patches to school. But this is not a patch job. God said, I'm not doing a patch job. When I put it in you, you're going to be able to hold what I put in you. Amen? I'm working on you. Ain't it good that God works on you? Amen? He needed 11 disciples who walked with Him and talked with Him and went through things. And guess what? He wasn't creating religious people. He was creating relationship people. He wanted them to know one thing. When He was gone and they poured the Holy Spirit in Him, every one of them would say, I walked with God. I don't know why He chose me. I don't know how He chose me. I don't know how He changed me. I don't know why He did. But every one of them would die for Him, except for Judas, and they said that. But guess what? I would die for Him. Because as we were walking, He was changing us. He was showing us. He was implanting us the fact that He was God. Amen? Now, He let them make big mistakes. But that's okay. God will let you make big mistakes. He'll let you eat some dirt. He'll let you, man, I'll tell you, I've seen God let me eat dirt before. Well, one time I thought, man, I'm the preacher. I am not the preacher. Well, the minute God turns that off, click, it's pretty ugly. Amen? I preached 5 minutes too long one time. I was like, oh, that's bad. Right? You good? Man, is this good for y'all? Man, guess what? We're a hospital for lost people. Jesus is a hospital for lost people. When they come in here, guess what? They either get it or they don't. Amen? But they need to be able to come in here and go, hey, this is a place that I can come to and get what I need. Amen? Not everybody's going to stay. Not everybody's going to come and get what they need. But they need to be able to come in here and at least hear the word. Amen? I don't care how they come in. It's how they leave. Amen? Is that good? Let's all stand as they come get a song.